We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio.com.
Miami Hurricanes and Florida Panthers.
Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This update is sponsored by Miami-Dade County. Starting off in free agency after LeBron signed yesterday a four-year, $154 million deal. The big move of day two. The official day of second day of free agency was Rajon Rondo signing with the Lakers also with a one-year, $9 million deal. The Miami Heat re-signed Derrick Jones Jr. yesterday. That's their big free agency news. And not much else. The only big free agents that are on the market right now are Isaiah Thomas and Boogie Cousins. We head to the Diamond as the Marlins start an in-state series with the Rays at 7-10. Wei Yin Chen on the mound for the Fish tonight. They are currently the worst team in the National League. And finally, the World Cup. Belgium beats Japan after being down 2-0 through 68 minutes. Nasser Chandy gets a goal in the fourth minute to stoppage time at the end of the game. Brazil beats Mexico 2-0 today. Neymar scored in the 51st minute. Both teams will face in the quarterfinals Friday at 2 p.m. Are you ready? Hurricane season is here. Be prepared before, during, and after a storm. For more info, visit miamidade.gov/hurricane or call 311. Weather is sponsored by Hialeah Park. It is currently 87 degrees with a high of 89 and a low of 87. We'll see clouds and thunderstorms starting July 4th. Unfortunate for 4th of July. Watch the World Cup on our 10-foot wall at Champions at Hialeah Park, Miami's most beautiful simulcasting center and sports bar. Details at HialeahPark.com. We continue with the Alex Donnell Show here with Biff producing here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Bro, dance to the left, my wrist, dance to the right. Lil' mama, she keep looking at me. I'ma knock me out like fight. Hit it with a left.
Yes! This song has got to be in the honor of that Filipino-Australia brawl in that FIBA World Cup qualifying game. More basketball news. That was wild.
Oh, man. Thon Maker should have been out there throwing more punches, though. I'm kind of disappointed in him.
I mean, they had to stop that game because there were too many guys ejected. That was fantastic. Best basketball brawl since, and even better than the Malice at the Palace back in 03.
Way better than the way Malice at the Palace.
I love that. Oh, man. Thanks again to James Herbert, CBS Sports, and Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post, who both joined us last hour. So guest heavy, a lot of information in the last hour. We'll open up the phone lines this hour, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. You can always get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22, but please don't text and drive. So the Lakers, they've renounced the rights to Julius Randle, so he gone, but they did sign Rajon Rondo to a one-year deal. So you think about some of the characters that they have added now. Lance Stephenson, who I would argue is more famous for blowing in LeBron James's ear than he is for actually playing hoops, right? Like nothing that he's ever done on the court is as well known as him blowing in LeBron James's ear during the 2014 playoffs, I believe that was.
2013 or 2014, one of those.
More famous for blowing in LeBron James's ear. Now he's a LeBron James teammate. And they've also got noted instigator and bleep starter Rajon Rondo. Not to mention, you still have LeVar Ball's kid on the team. So LeVar Ball is part of that circus as well.
Plus Kuzma, who has the beef with him. And you have JaVale McGee.
Yeah, so that's a wild team. And listen, I think the Lakers are very good, primarily because they added LeBron James. They're not better than Golden State. They're not better than Houston. But the Lakers are very good. They'd be the top team in the East, I would argue, if you did a conference realignment. But they've got some characters on that team, man. it is going to be interesting to see how LeBron wrangles that group together.
Well, we actually are missing one more person, too.
Who?
Kentrell Pope.
Oh, KCP.
Yes, KCP. Come on, man. We can't forget about him. The guy who couldn't play outside of the state of California for like two months at one point.
That's right. I forgot. Was he on house arrest?
No, he was doing like work from jail. He could get out of jail to go play in games and go to practice and go right back to jail.
Oh my God. What a team, man. What a team full of characters, these Lakers. That is very Hollywood, right? The team that they're putting out there. You've got LeBron James and a bunch of misfits, including the father of a player who is not really a misfit himself in Lonzo Ball, but LaVar Ball. I would love to see if there are ever any leaks of tension, altercations. Is LaVar Ball going to be instantly respectful of LeBron James, or will there be some sort of shenanigans behind the scenes? Stay tuned for that. This team is Hollywood as hell. Lakers will be all over national TV this year, and I love it. And you know, as I mentioned there in my conversation with James Herbert, the Lakers now, I don't think this is deserved, but they now have the second best odds to win a championship next year. 4-1 behind only the Golden State Warriors, who are plus 150. So the Warriors are the heavy favorite. And then the Los Angeles Lakers check in right after that, which I'm sure means they're expecting a lot of money to come in on the Lakers after that LeBron James announcement. How do people in Cleveland feel right now, honestly? I'd like to step inside their souls. I caught that fraud Andy Baskin from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland talking to Hawk today. Seems like a really nice, lovely man, but every time he joins that show, he grinds my gears. I'm hoping it's the last time he joins that show, because now that LeBron's not in Cleveland, that entire city is irrelevant, right? Entirely an irrelevant city at this point. But if you listen to the Andy Baskins of the world, "Oh, we're fine here," he says. "Oh, we're good. We appreciate the 4 years of LeBron. We appreciate the championship. We have nothing but gratitude for what he did here. We're perfectly at peace with him walking away." I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. If I were a Clevelander, thank God I'm not, but if I were a native of Cleveland, if I were a Cavaliers fan, a couple things that would grind my gears about this LeBron move. Number one, so he spent the last four seasons in Cleveland never committing to a long-term future. Every year was a power play. I'm signing two-year deals with an opt-out after 1 year. I'm opting out every time. So I just played four seasons on a series of one-year deals with Cleveland. Now, you may say, "Dono, that's a little bit too petty to pick at him for that." No, it's not, because if you're a fan of that team, you have to consider the fact that LeBron made it more difficult to get other good players to commit to play there alongside him. Because if I'm a prospective sidekick for LeBron James, I would like to know what's the long-term basketball plan here, right? If I'm going to go to a city that already is not a desirable destination, right? When they've got NBA teams in Los Angeles and Miami, like cities that actually matter, you want me to come to Cleveland, Ohio. Give me your long-term basketball plan. And when LeBron is always hanging it over your head and holding you hostage, I could leave at any time. If I'm a fan of the Cavaliers, I have to think that maybe they could have built a better team here around LeBron if he could have committed to a long-term future. One-year commitments every single time he signed. And then after that, 4 years in Cleveland, he has no problem committing a four-year deal, 3 years and then an opt-out, but 3 years is a much bigger commitment than the 1 year he gave you four different times in Cleveland. As soon as he leaves here, the city he loves so much, the fan base that was so important to him, never a long-term commitment. He goes to LA immediately, long-term commitment. That's got to grind my gears. I was not expecting that, honestly. I was not expecting that. Before the announcement yesterday of LeBron to Los Angeles, of course, we all thought he was going there. The move in itself was not a surprise. But the four-year deal to me was very surprising. If I'm a Cleveland fan, that smarts a little bit. That hurts. The other thing was, I had totally forgotten about this until I saw it turn up in a story today, this photo. Props to Greg Cody. Although I don't know if he's the one who, like, you know, when he writes a story for the Herald website, I don't know if he actually picks the photo that goes with the story or if it's an editor or a web guy who picks it. But a story that Cody wrote today about LeBron had the perfect photo to go with it. You remember when LeBron James went back to Cleveland 4 years ago and he had that t-shirt that said, Cleveland or nowhere, right? Cleveland or nowhere. That was a very strong message he was sending to the people of Northeast Ohio that this is the last place I'm ever going to play basketball, right? I will never leave you again. My only option is Cleveland. It's Cleveland or nowhere. Guess what? 4 years later, he chooses nowhere. LeBron James leaves Cleveland. I saw something today. Oh, it must suck to drive by this today because I don't think they've actually taken this down yet. In downtown Cleveland, on the side of a building, there is a giant billboard that has been there for the last 4 years of LeBron James. Giant billboard in the city of Cleveland. I don't think they've actually taken it down yet. I think that's going to come at some point tomorrow, but they are going to remove that billboard. I think they had it up there during his first seven seasons. They had to remove the billboard when he went to Miami. They will have to remove the billboard again when he goes to Los Angeles. It's got to hurt, if nothing else, for the fact that, you know, Herbert echoed this sentiment to me. Cleveland is going to be in the toilet for a long time. I don't literally mean the city. They're already in the toilet. But the Cavaliers are going to be in the toilet for a long time because there's no other way for that team to build than play the long game with draft picks. Like, there is no other way for that team to build than compile high lottery picks, right? Hope your ping pong balls come up. First overall, second overall picks. And then cross your fingers that one of those picks is going to turn into the next LeBron James. Free agents aren't going there. You know, maybe you try and pull off a blockbuster trade. But primarily, unlike a team like the Miami Heat, that, listen, Pat Riley has put this team in salary cap purgatory, if not salary cap hell, with some of the bad deals he's given out. But at least you know once you can get some of those deals off the books, we might have to be patient and wait till 2020, right? We might have to wait until Whiteside and Tyler Johnson come off the books before we can really do anything fun. But you know that as soon as the Heat have that cap space, you're getting somebody to come play here. You're convincing a good player to come live on South Beach, put on that Heat jersey, where the only way for the Cavaliers to build is to build through the draft, which is a crapshoot, right? Would I like to have more picks than Pat Riley has left us with over the years? Sure. But still, trying to build strictly through the draft, which is what you have to do in Cleveland, because you're not signing free agents unless you get lucky with a LeBron James type who's from that area and feels an obligation to play there. Unless you find that next LeBron James, you're going to be in the crapper as a franchise for the long term. How about this for Los Angeles? This is a cool stat. You know, one stat that stood out to me that I already mentioned was LeBron he's not there yet, but he's trying to become only the third player in NBA history to win championships in three different teams. Robert Horry has done it. John Sally has done it. No one else has done it. LeBron could become the most significant player to ever do that, right? That would be one thing that he would have over Michael Jordan if he can get that done. No guarantee, because you got to get through the Golden State dynasty. But another stat that I thought is cool is that this goes to show you, as a free agent destination, you know, I know that when Jim Buss, the idiot son, was running that team, they regressed. But now that they seem to be headed in the right track with Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss running the show, they can return to some of this glory. LeBron James becomes the sixth former league MVP to join the Lakers. So these are guys who have won MVP awards elsewhere to join the Lakers. And the Lakers have done this more than any other franchise. I think the Celtics are next at four, but the Lakers now have had six former league MVPs who won the MVP in other cities join their team. Goes to show you what a destination it is. LeBron becomes the sixth player who won an MVP elsewhere to join the Lakers following. Good list here. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bob McAdoo, Karl Malone, who didn't win there, and Steve Nash. The rich history in Los Angeles' prime location makes the Lakers especially alluring to the biggest of stars. Which, again, this move is, I think, even more basketball. It's even more business, I should say, than it is basketball. And it's not to say LeBron doesn't have some incredible basketball left to play. 33-year-old who is in the physical condition of a 27, 28-year-old still in his prime, showing no signs of slowing down yet. Still the best player in the league. In fact, you can argue the last couple of years he seems to have gotten even better somehow, just defying Father Time. So he's still got plenty of basketball to give, but he's not joining a team that's ready-made to win a championship, right? He's playing a longer game here. It might be very much become about the summer of 2019 for the Lakers. That's why you see them making all the moves they're making today, signing complimentary players to one-year contracts. So a lot of money is going to come off the books next summer, right? So the Lakers, who just made the biggest splash in the league yesterday by signing, well, by agreeing to sign LeBron James, can make other big splashes next year because they will have the salary cap space to do that. So it's not necessarily the best basketball move for LeBron immediately, but when you're talking about Space Jam 2, when you're talking about furthering his media platforms with Uninterrupted, developing more businesses with his production company, this move to L.A. makes so much sense for LeBron. And by the way, Biff, I want to get to this on the other side. One of our listeners sent me a story from Screen Rant. This is the reason why the Space Jam 2 trailer was not released yesterday as promised.
I was highly disappointed at that. That's all I was looking for that day. Especially after that came out, I could care less LeBron's wherever he is. I just wanted to see if Space Jam 2 looks worth going to see a movie.
I mean, we all knew he was going to Los Angeles, right?
Pretty sure I've known that
months
since I heard about Space Jam 2.
Ah, yeah, we've known about that for a month, if not for years at this point. That was the least suspenseful of LeBron's announcements, right? LeBron to the Heat in 2010 was a shocker to everyone but Stephen A. Smith and Chris Broussard, who saw it coming. LeBron back to Cleveland in 2014 was at least a little bit surprising. LeBron James to L.A. caught nobody by surprise. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Young Biff was, I called him to play some Green Day. He's like, oh yeah, we've got to Wake Me Up When September Ends. Bro, I don't want a slow song.
I don't know, you seem like a slow song kind of guy.
I don't know why you would think that. Why do you think I'm a slow song kind of guy? You're just curious.
It's because your balls are not weird.
What does that have to do with a slow song?
That makes me think you're artsy, so you know you have to listen to a slow song. Like, oh, this is so inspirational. They were thinking of the clouds and how the world's turning. That's how I thought about it.
I do like artsy movies. So you're onto something there.
Didn't you like En Machina?
Ex Machina. That was a great film. Fantastic.
That was a weird film.
My wife almost left me over that movie. She hated it. I dragged her to the theater for that.
I understand what Mrs. Dono is on that. That was a weird movie.
And you got to give me some credit because if you think my wife wears the pants in the relationship, she does, but I do put my foot down sometimes. She went and saw Jurassic World without me last night. I wanted no part of that, right? Not after the terrible reviews. My life is too short to see a movie that trusted friends of mine think, Mark Hockman was one of those. People think that movie is terrible. My life is too short to see Jurassic World.
Do you trust Mark Hockman, though, with the movie things?
I do.
I don't know if I trust him.
Here's why I trust him, because he loves so much of that mainstream, high-budget, blockbuster garbage that for him to think Jurassic World 2 was terrible, that means it must be even worse than terrible, right? Like, he's the type of guy that if you spend, like, $1 billion to make a movie, he's going to like it, right? Like, he is that consumer that you go after, right? He's the type that the Fast and the Furious movies, Part 55, they will target the guy who just goes to the movie because the budget is gigantic. So if he didn't like it, I know I'm not going to like it, right? So I trusted his opinion on that, along with the opinions of a handful of other advisors close to me, my consiglieri of movies, and they told me, Dono, don't bother with this one. So I didn't. Wife wanted to see it. I told her, let me do you a favor. I'm going to stay home and watch our son. You can go with a friend of yours, enjoy the crappy, over-budget, terrible movie, and she actually kind of liked it.
So are you telling me you're in the movie mafia?
I didn't know that was a thing, but yes.
Well, you just admitted to it, kinda.
Yeah, I do have my film consiglieri. I'll tell you who's on my advisory crew. When it's convenient, Hockman is in there. And then I've got my film connoisseur friends like Billy Donnelly from thisisinfamous.com. My buddy Josh Webb, who's a movie aficionado. He's been a guest on the show before. And then James Profeto, who used to intern here way back. He's now a film critic. He weighs in on this stuff for me. And whatever they say about a film, I live by that. It's gospel. We have similar tastes. That's my crew. That's my mafia.
Interesting.
There you go. You know more about me today. I will be boycotting Space Jam 2 when it comes out.
I agree with this texter, though. I don't understand you, Dono. I just don't.
I don't know. That's literally the text. Only thing we cannot trust Hawk with is Interstellar. Well, I want Hawk to hate Interstellar. Like, that's the whole point of this, right? So if he hates Jurassic World, despite the fact that they spent like $5 billion making that movie, that must mean it fell flat for him because he's their target audience, right? He is their target audience. So if he hated the movie, it's got to be terrible. Hawk hated Interstellar. He's supposed to hate Interstellar. That's how you know Interstellar is good, if Hawkman hates it. Oh, Texter writes in, that movie was awesome, talking about Jurassic World. I think that's the same guy who wrote, I don't understand you, Dono. I will be boycotting Space Jam 2 for two reasons. I think to make a sequel to this film 20 years later, 22, 23 years later, I think it's disrespectful to Michael Jordan's legacy. It's a mere marketing vessel to try and ram the LeBron James narrative down my throat. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like... To me, this is a remake. I know they call it a sequel. To me, this is a remake. I don't respect it. But here's why the trailer didn't air. A trailer for LeBron James' Space Jam 2 did not release last night because details about the planned rollout leaked early. Oh, for the fans of the 1996 live-action / animation hybrid have been following development on a sequel for years, with James and director Justin Lin becoming attached in 2016. Since then, it's mostly been quiet on the Space Jam 2 front, but there was a new wave of excitement last week when it was reported James would debut a Space Jam 2 teaser after announcing his highly anticipated free agency decision. On Saturday, July 1st, James agreed to a 4-year contract with the Lakers, putting him right in the middle of Hollywood as he nears the end of his NBA career. As basketball fans fervently discussed what the movie meant for the league, moviegoers were left wondering why the news was delivered by way of an inconspicuous tweet as opposed to the more elaborate idea James allegedly had. Now it's been revealed why things changed. So I guess they didn't like the fact that they were scooped. They didn't like the fact that the information about the trailer leaked before they were going to release the trailer. Wow, another texter writes in, Jurassic World 2 was a good movie. Saw it with my kids, and they enjoyed it too. I worry about your children's intelligence.
You think he's a guy who also thinks episode 1 was great?
That's like Hall of Fame bad. And sir or madam, I was not really insulting your children. I was joking, right? My kid is 4 months old. I don't know if he's smart or not. I have no idea. I'm hoping he's intelligent, but I have no clue. I would never seriously insult your kids. But yeah, your opinion about that movie goes against the opinion of a lot of people that I trust. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. How do you feel about this? There's some buzz for Chris Bosh potentially joining LeBron in Los Angeles.
I saw this. You want to know an interesting thing? You know he's never allowed to join the Heat again?
He's never allowed to?
He's not allowed to. I think with how they did their contract, stuff like that, part of it was he's not allowed to ever sign with the Heat again.
Why?
It was some weird thing, but it's like he's not allowed to sign with the Miami Heat. So I guess they can never make the team back here again because of, I guess, the physical reasons or something like that.
Man, so even if you would give Pat Riley and Mickey Arison, because he's the guy cutting the check, new information saying, you know what, through the marvels of modern science, we have found a way to cure thrombosis, right? The blood thinning technology has gotten so impressive now, this is no longer a life-threatening issue. They've committed now to never sign the guy again?
Yep.
I would love to have Chris Bosh back here. I think that'd be a great story for him to come back to South Florida. Depends on the price, of course, but Here's some of the buzz for LeBron to L.A. A source told Sporting News that Bosch could petition the league again for a return to action, arguing that advances in blood-thinning medication make him less likely to have an on-court problem and that he's willing to accept responsibility for any such incidents. Rob Pelinka, now the Lakers' general manager, was Bosch's agent before he had to retire and has a close connection with Bosch. Earlier this season, Bosch worked out at the Lakers' practice facility, raising some questions about a possible future with the Lakers. So I get it. Between the Rob Pelinka connection, which is massive, you cannot deny that, and due to the fact that Bosch still has not really shut the door on his playing career, he still wants to play again. That's leading people to wonder if Bosch and the Lakers would make this move to team up with LeBron again. To me, it's still a fantasy. To me, it's still not going to happen, and I'll tell you why it's not going to happen. I don't think it's valid to say that, oh, if Bosch is willing to sign a waiver that he takes full responsibility, God forbid he dies on the court or has a serious medical episode on the court, that he takes full responsibility for that. If you think the Lakers or any team are going to look at that and say, problem solved, no issue here. If he's willing to take responsibility, where can I sign for that? There's so much more that goes into that decision from a PR standpoint. Not to mention that, okay, even if Chris Bosch were to sign some legal document that said, if I die on the court, it's all my responsibility. The Lakers are completely off the hook for this. You think that's going to sit well with his wife? And I wouldn't blame her if she made a stink over that, right? You think that if he signs some form that says, it's my responsibility if I die on the court, that if, God forbid, that were to happen, that Mrs. Bosch is just cool with that? Oh, yeah, I don't blame the Lakers for this whatsoever. The Lakers have to think about that stuff. Not to mention, if Bosch had a serious episode on the court, that it's a terrible PR nightmare for them. The videos all over social media, every national columnist, every local columnist is writing articles about how, you know, the Lakers made a terrible gamble, an unsafe gamble on a guy who's not fit to play the game of basketball. There's a lot more to this than Chris Bosch signing some waiver that says it's my responsibility if something happens to me. There's a lot more to it than that. What does the Lakers roster look like now, potentially? Point guard Lonzo Ball, shooting guard KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, small forward Brandon Ingram, power forward LeBron James, center JaVale McGee. Very interesting lineup. Not top in the West by any stretch of the imagination.
See, I feel like Kuzma has to be starting, though. You have him out of the starting lineup.
Yeah, well, he's either your sixth guy, your first guy off the bench, or he's in that positionless basketball. He could be in that starting lineup as well. You're right.
I think he'll take Pope's job.
Yeah, probably so. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Some people feel this way. Dono, please go away from the LeBron conversation. This crap had been going on nonstop for the last month. We're sick of it. Please talk about the Canes. I don't feel like the majority think that way about this LeBron story, though.
What is there even to talk about with the Canes?
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about with the Canes
yet. What are you going
to
talk about? The 100th time you're going to talk about how, oh, Malik Rozier is going to be starting, but they really should have Nekosi Perry. Oh, my God. And let's talk about their second string punter, their freshman who came in who hasn't even put on a pad yet.
I mean, I do think that Malik Rozier is going to be the starter quarterback.
I think wasn't there an article that came out about that like not a long time ago? I saw something, I think.
There have been about 10 dozen articles that have come out about that. Anybody who's covered Canes during spring, covered the build up to training camp, feels strongly about Malik Rozier starting a quarterback. What type of P move was it that by the ball camp to come out and say he's injured after his name was mentioned in trades? I thought if nothing else, it was brilliant. Like, you remember that last week that, oh, Lonzo Ball has a torn meniscus, hurts his trade value.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get traded away. I mean, you can't trade. Who's going to accept a guy who has a torn meniscus?
Right. Much, much tougher to trade him at that point. Much tougher. And you have to wonder, LeBron James making this move to L.A., everything about it so far has sent you the message that, Oh, and Rajon Rondo, a texter, adds, has signed. He writes supposedly with L.A. No, I don't think it's supposedly. He has signed with L.A. on a one-year deal.
Well, he has not signed. He's agreed. They until the 6th.
Yeah, you can't sign until July 6th, but he has. It's more than just a rumor. He has agreed to a one-year deal with L.A., right? If Lonzo Ball were to get traded before the season, that would have LeBron's fingerprints all over it. But isn't LeBron sending the message with this move that he's taken a step back from being GM, right? That he's putting more faith in Magic and Pelinka than he ever did with Dan Gilbert and Colby Altman when he was in Cleveland. That LeBron James, because just the fact that he signs on the four-year deal, 3 years with the player option, right there, he's giving up a lot of his leverage and a lot of his power, right? Because the main reason why LeBron was able to play GM in Cleveland was because he was holding that team hostage. I'm here on one-year deals. If you want to make me happy, if you want to keep me here, you have to make me happy by always keeping the roster the way LeBron likes it, right? Just by signing the three-year deal, the four-year deal with 3 years guaranteed for the Lakers, it takes a lot of his leverage, a lot of his power away. So right there, LeBron sends the message that I'm okay letting Magic and Pelinka take the wheel in a way I was not with Dan Gilbert. Wow, I love this text. Dono, I like you a lot, but your guy there is an idiot for what he just said.
Which one? I wonder what comment he's talking about. I said a lot of things that could be...
Maybe about the backup punter with the Canes. I'm not sure what you did there.
I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, punting was a problem last year. That was, yeah. I remember hearing that a bunch. So, you know, you need a good backup punter just in case your punter this year stinks.
That's breakdown from a Gators fan right there. That is breakdown from a Florida Gator fan.
The Gators wish we had a good backup punter. That was our, I think, our last All-America was our punter.
I'm going to give you a top three list on the other side that'll probably anger some folks in Cleveland. I'm going to rank LeBron James' three championships in order of significance. Three championships ranked in order of significance, not only himself to his legacy, but to the NBA. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Yeah, I know that some of our loyal listeners, including Armando in Miami, are longtime Los Angeles Lakers fans. Like, not bandwagoners, lifelong L.A. Lakers fans who happen to live in this city. Maybe some of you, you grew up cheering for the Lakers before the Heat ever even existed, or you've got some tie to that team or their history. But any of you who are not lifelong Lakers fans, will you now be rooting for the Lakers because of your love for LeBron or your intrigue in this project? Because even if you don't feel strongly about LeBron one way or the other, don't the Lakers become, in a way, an intriguing underdog against the Golden State Warriors? I mean, you have in the Western Conference this Golden State team that for the last 4 years, with the exception of the one slip-up against Cleveland, which probably had more to do with the Draymond Green suspension than it did with anything that LeBron and the Cavs did, three titles in 4 years, no sign of slowing down. Kevin Durant recommits to that team. Don't the Lakers now become a hope to add a little bit of intrigue to the West? Houston is there, not discounting Houston. In fact, Houston came within a hair's breadth away from upsetting Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. And that team, although they did lose Trevor Ariza, which makes them a little bit weaker, that team is going to be hanging around next year as well. But doesn't LeBron James and the Lakers, if not next year, if not this season, the year after, once they add more pieces, become an interesting, intriguing team with an opportunity to put an end to that Golden State dynasty? Or are you so team petty you're not getting anywhere near that? Because I have had a couple people, man, going back to last week, a couple of the texts that I got at 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, telling me that, you know what, I came to realize that my real hatred for LeBron the last 4 years was really more a hatred of Cleveland. Why would people in Miami hate Cleveland? The way that they talked to us and talked about us after LeBron came here in 2010. I think what really rubbed me the wrong way about Clevelanders was this attitude that you guys down there in Miami, you're not sports fans, you don't deserve this, right? I can't tell you how many times I heard it 2010 to 2014 that, well, you know, I'm pissed that LeBron left Cleveland, but I'm especially pissed that he went to a city whose fans don't even care. You don't deserve LeBron. You get there late. You leave early. You don't fill up the AAA, which is not true. We had the longest sellout streak in the league, and that extended even after LeBron James left Miami, by the way. Tearing us apart to say this is a vacation town, not a sports town. Cleveland, a great sports town. I would have been okay if you went to New York or if you went to L.A. back then, but I have a problem with LeBron going to Miami. The way that they discounted South Floridians, I thought was very offensive to me and to a lot of you out there. So when LeBron went back to Cleveland, I've had people tell me that my hatred for LeBron the last 4 years was actually more about Cleveland than it was about LeBron. In a way, you feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders by LeBron going to L.A. Maybe I'll root for him now, I've been told. Maybe I'll root for LeBron James now that he's in Los Angeles, because he does make the Lakers the most intriguing team in the league at this moment, right? Because wouldn't you say that right now with LeBron, even though you have a dynasty in progress in the northern part of that state, you've got a dynasty in progress in Oakland with the Golden State Warriors. Yet that team a month ago wins their third championship in 4 years. They win it in a sweep. And yet after that series was over, what's everybody talking about? Are they talking about the Golden State Warriors' dominance? For about 5 minutes. And then immediately they shift to, well, where's LeBron going this summer? Right? So you cannot deny that even though you have a dynasty in progress in the NBA, the epicenter of the NBA universe is in Southern California. It's in Los Angeles. That instantly becomes the most intriguing team in the National Basketball Association. You know me, I'm not a bandwagon jumper. Never have been. I root for my teams, most of them in South Florida. I root for the Heat, don't care about anybody else. Never have, never will. Well, maybe before the Heat existed. Although I was so young, I'm 4 years old at the time, I wasn't really a basketball fan before that. Only care about the Miami Heat, only care about the Miami Dolphins. You know, I only care about the Miami Marlins, which has made life very difficult for me. College football, I only care about the Miami Hurricanes. Only care about the Florida Panthers in the NHL. And then in soccer, yeah, my team is Inter Milan, but it's not like I've had compelling South Florida soccer teams. I will root for Beckham's team. I'll still be an Inter fan because it's lifelong, no bandwagon. But I will become a fan of the Miami MLS team as well when they come around. I'm a South Florida guy, ride or die. I don't jump on bandwagons. You know who's ready to jump on that Lakers bandwagon? Manny Chang. Manny Chang is ready to jump on the Lakers bandwagon. I tried to tell Chang that if you're going to become a Lakers fan, just because of the LeBron circus, you need to drop one of your other teams. I think that's the only way to balance it. I would never switch allegiances or add teams because I'm not wired that way. I'm loyal. I'm monogamous with my teams. I don't sleep around with my teams. But I think a rule should be, if you're going to jump on the bandwagon of another team, you have to drop one of your teams to balance the scales. You can't just root for everybody. You've got to have some standard. Some standard. And another thing we have to talk about with Manny Chang is if he becomes a Lakers fan next year, that's the kiss of death for that team. They're never going to win anything.
Oh, man. I don't know. Does it stretch outside of soccer, though, his bad luck thing?
Have you seen his World Cup picks?
Oh, his picks have been awful. I'm going to start looking. Like, I'm going to get notifications for him, what team he picks. I go opposite with my entertainment stuff that happens in Delaware every once in a while. And I'll hopefully make some money off of it.
And he knows soccer, too. It's not like this guy is, because you see a lot of this during the World Cup. You'll see guys who have never watched a soccer game in their life, World Cup rolls around, suddenly you're an expert. Like, Manny Chang is not that guy. He has been watching soccer, as far as I can tell, for his entire life. And yet, he's 0 for his last 8 World Cup picks, which is pretty bad. And the two teams that he was all in with to start the Cup were Peru, and listen, Peru was an underdog, so I'm not going to really hold that against him, right? Peru was a team that wasn't expected to do anything in the Cup, actually played pretty well, but couldn't score goals, so they get knocked out of the group stage. But his other team was Germany, Deutschland. Manny Chang, because he decided to root for Germany, they get knocked out in the group stage for the first time ever. That country has lost 2 world wars, and that was not as damaging to them as Manny Chang rooting for their soccer team. And now he's 0 for his 8 last picks in the World Cup. Chang told me today he was all in on Mexico beating Brazil. was all in on Japan upsetting Belgium, which nearly happened, mind you. However, that game, it was about at the 55-minute mark today. And Japan, it looked like a huge stunner was in progress because Belgium was tremendous in the group stage. Belgium has become like the popular darling to win the tournament. Very, very talented team. And they looked virtually flawless through their first three games. Nobody was expecting Japan to even have a chance to beat Belgium today, except Manny Chang came out and said, Japan will pull off the upset today. So what does Chang do? 55 minutes into that match, the Japanese have a 2-0 lead, and Manny Chang starts bragging to me about on Twitter about it. I picked Japan.
Sounds like a Manny thing.
The curse is broken. I picked Japan. I'm so smart for picking the Japanese to upset Belgium. What happens after that? The Belgians score three unanswered goals to sink Japan in the second half. Three goals in 30 minutes, including a 95th-minute game winner to beat Japan before they even got to extra time. That, my friends, is the power of the Manny Chang curse. It is more real than any religion. It is more real than the monster under your children's bed. The Manny Chang curse is the most powerful thing affecting sports right now. If you're not superstitious, maybe you should be, because the Manny Chang curse is real. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to our buddy Stormcat. You're on QAM. What's up, Stormcat?
Look, yeah, I can't take Manny Chang with me to the casino, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. Keep him so far away from you. I bet if I had disposable income, I would try this, right? I'd go to the blackjack table. I would have Manny Chang stand next to me like a good luck charm and see if I can lose 10, 15 hands in a row. That probably would happen.
Hey, no doubt. Hey, look here.
Lonzo's the kid. LeVar is the loudmouth dad.
Hey, LeVar, he done got quiet as a church mouse here the past few days, though.
Yeah, because he probably knows that if he steps out of line, one of LeBron's guys is gonna have him killed, allegedly.
Not only that, they gonna get rid of the council. Number two, I really think he wants his son to play with LeBron.
Right. Right. No question.
So right now, don't burn no bridges right now, you know?
Although I'm sure if you ask LeVar Ball, it's not going to be, oh, are you excited for Lonzo to play with LeBron? No, I'm excited for LeBron to play with Lonzo.
Right. And his son probably want to play, but it's just him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And plus, he wants to get his other two kids on that team, so he's got to play nice.
Oh, child, please. Come on.
That is the dream, though. You got to get LiAngelo and LaMelo on that team. That's the Ball family dream.
Martin Luther King said, a man without a dream is lost.
Right. He's not lost, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate it, Stormcat.
Yo.
LeBron James and Lonzo Ball. And Stormcat is right there. LeVar has gotten really quiet. You don't want to piss off LeBron. You know if you piss off LeBron, your kid's getting traded. Right? Like, you know that if you don't mind your P's and Q's, now that LeBron James is there, all LeBron has to do is make one phone call, and Lonzo Ball is in Lithuania with his two loser brothers. All he has to do is pick up the phone. Let's send this guy to Lithuania with his dad. Oh, wow, the Columbia fans are checking in. So many Columbia... I give the Colombians credit. They come strong. Every time Colombia wins a game in this World Cup, I go out of my house, everybody's wearing Colombia jerseys. I kind of feel left out that I have no allegiance to that team, right? Anytime Colombia wins an international game, World Cup game, friendly, whatever, you go out on the town in Miami, everybody's wearing Colombia jerseys. So the Colombia fans are chiming in. Tell Manny to root for England. He probably is rooting for England. I feel like that would be the Chang allegiance tomorrow. Tell Manny to pick England, guarantees victory for Colombia. I'm going to let him know that the Colombia fans tell him, please go all in for England. I want Manny to be a Juventus fan next year. I want him to be a Patriots fan. And you know what? I just saw a juicy rumor today, by the way. Even if you don't care about the Italian league, Serie A and soccer, I think this will catch your attention. There are some rumors out there that Juventus is making a play for Cristiano Ronaldo.
That is big news.
I think it's a long shot because Juventus don't strike me as a team that is willing to spend that much money on one player, right? They look more after free transfers, which are the equivalent of expired contracts, free agents. It's hard for me to imagine that team making, you know, a $120 million plus $30 million a year wages transfer for Cristiano Ronaldo. But if that were to happen, guaranteed Manny becomes a Juventus fan because he loves his boy Cristiano.
Oh, of course he does. Do you think he gets the tattoo, though? That's a question.
Oh, for sure. Right? Like right out, right next to Cristiano Ronaldo's face and Iron Man's face, he'll have the Juventus logo.
See, I don't know about that one.
I'm telling you.
I have faith in my man Manny. He won't do that.
Let's go back to the phones. 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Tommy in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Tommy?
What's going on? The Japs were kamikazing early, and they stopped hitting their mark. And then if they had some sumo wrestlers out there for the second half, they would have won that thing. What happened?
They needed, like, to pile up some sumo wrestlers just in front of the goal so none of those shots could get in.
Yeah, with some of the diapers, they would have been fine.
Yeah, so I got to let you in because he said something there that I think is a little offensive. So I've had enough.
At the beginning, I think he kind of said
I've had enough of Tommy for today. It's like there are certain lines that you shouldn't cross, right? I mean, you come with the jokes, but there are certain lines you cannot cross, man. Let's talk to Dave in Miami. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Alex. You said something before, and I really enjoy listening to you.
Okay.
You said something before that I totally, totally disagree
with.
All
right, I was waiting for the butt. Go ahead and give it to me.
No, it's not a butt. It's not that big a deal. Trust me. It's not changing either one of our lives.
Okay.
So what it is, you made reference to Dan Gilbert, that basically he's not the brightest, not the smartest, and he was really nasty when LeBron left the first time, okay?
Yeah.
So at least Carmelo, when he left Denver, he told management, I'm leaving. Trade me. Get what you can. He goes to the Knicks. The Knicks trade 3 or 4 or 5 players. How does Dan Gilbert find out about this, okay? I'm moving. I'm taking my game to Miami. We're not going to win one. We're not going to win two, and, you know, so on and so forth. Doesn't even give the guy a chance to get something for him, okay? Now he comes down to Miami, and I am a Heat fan, but I'm not one of these guys that's upset that he left. Because he did the same thing to Cleveland when he left. But here's my question. He loses the first one down here, wins the next two. Does anyone really think that if he would have won the third one, he would have said, you know what, I won 3 in a row, but I've got to go back to Cleveland.
I don't think so. I think he would have stayed here if they won 3 in a row.
He is not going to leave. Now he gets back to Cleveland, and he's got 2 All-Stars playing with him. Okay? Not happy with the 2 All-Stars, not happy with the coach, gets the coach fired. They can say no. Everyone in the world who has a half a brain knows he got the coach fired.
Sure.
Then he's not happy with the players that he's got. And now what does he do? He picks up again. And not just him. It's all these guys. The game, I'm old school. The game has changed so much, Alex. I can't enjoy it. You've got so many teams now who don't stand even a fighter's chance of winning. There's no chance. They have stocked up. The league has let these guys with the money load up on teams. Seriously now, when do you think the Heat will ever be relevant again?
It's going to take years. It's going to take, it's 2 years before they can even make a move again. You've got to get Whiteside and Tyler Johnson off the books before you can even spend.
No one is taking those guys for that money. Nobody.
But in 2 years their contracts expire. So that's when you can actually spend some money again.
The other thing I wanted to tell you was that the thing that bothers me the most about LeBron, what he did down here, is what he did to Riley.
Yes,
I'm a big Riley
agreed.
Fan.
But my point though about Dan Gilbert was, so LeBron does Riley dirty, very disrespectful. You don't see Pat Riley make nasty statements about LeBron and issue a letter where he's bashing the guy. Mickey Arison, same thing. My point about Dan Gilbert was, I'm not saying he should have been happy about LeBron leaving. I just think that there's a certain protocol of the way you have to take the high road in that spot Because and listen, I never would have imagined LeBron would have gone back there after 4 years. I was amazed by that. But normally you'd say an owner has to be respectful when a player leaves, no matter the circumstances, because you're sending a message to every player in the league. I'm classy. I'm dealing with this the right way. You write a letter like that, it's a terrible, terrible look for Gilbert.
You know, you're 100% right, Alex, except who wants to go to Cleveland anyway? It's not like
right. But you're not helping the situation when you're bashing players on the way out.
No, I agree with that. But what I was going to say about LeBron is not that so much. He goes up to Pat and says, you know what? This backcourt guy from Connecticut, I think he's the best point guard in the league.
Right.
Napier.
The best point guard in the draft, I think, is what he said.
Right. And Pat, you're right. That's what I meant. So Pat drafts him. And where's this guy now? The D League, maybe?
I don't even know where he is now, Shabazz. Do you know, Biff, where Shabazz Napier is right now?
I think he's a free agent right now.
Right, but like...
Because I know Norris Cole is, Mario Chalmers is, and I believe the three guards that LeBron had at one point are all...
The last I heard was that Napier was trying out for the U.S. soccer team. You know, he's switching sports. And again, I'm agreeing with you. The letter was not right. Don't think for 1 second Gilbert said what Pat and Ricky Aronson were thinking. They didn't say it, okay?
Right.
But for sure, you know.
Oh, for sure.
They were absolutely thinking about it. But one last thing, I'm going to let you go as I walk into the gym. Like,
I got to let you go because you're probably walking into the gym right now where you get no service. Your phone line was breaking up. So at the end of the day, I think we agree that no matter what Dan Gilbert was thinking in that spot, to hit send on that letter was ridiculous. Ridiculous. This is a good question on the World Cup. I should ask him. I wonder who Chris Whittingham is going to cheer for. He's Colombian, but he loves his British heritage. Maybe Chris is rooting for Colombia tomorrow, but Nigel is rooting for England. I do. I am going to send him a text to ask him who he's rooting for in that game. Biff, do you have a rooting interest in Colombia versus England? For me, I just sit back and watch. I don't have a dog in that race. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
I may or may not have ties to England, but honestly,
may or may not.
I don't know because my last name is like a Germanic / English
Wilson
thing. Yeah, it's
Wilson.
Like weirdly Germanic and English, but I don't know. And I supposedly have family from there, but I've never met in my life, so I'm not really sure.
So root for Colombia then. We'll take more calls on the other side. Wow, Tub Guy. Tub Guy says hang up on that guy. I don't know if it was just because the phone line was breaking up or Tub Guy is a tough critic.
Tub Guy is a tough man.
Is Tub Girl in the tub with you, Tub Guy? Please text to me. Yes or no. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.